The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is the Magic Mike Show, episode 432, Mr. Samich.
Wildcard weekend, huzzah!
I'm just happy it's sunny again in Los Angeles. It feels like everything is, we got sunshine and for the wintertime, warm weather in Los Angeles. The NFL is back. The Dolphins, and you're getting a new quarterback soon, it sounds like. All is right. We've got a great maiden race here. It's feeling like championship meet at Gulfstream, like you had just said before we started. So it's a good day. It's a good time to be a horse racing fan right now.
Yeah, unless, of course, you are in Southern California. Santa Anita cancels their card on Saturday. So if anyone's playing the horse tourneys, the first major is this weekend. And we will not be having that major this weekend. They pushed it back a week. So you got one more week to qualify for a $1,500 tournament over on horsetourneys.com. If you want to try it, Philip, get on in there. It is a blast to play. It's the full Gulfstream and Santa Anita cards. It's not going to be this weekend, but next weekend now with that cancellation of Santa Anita.
They're doing it, Philip. They understood your concern. They want to give you one extra week to study up and keep practicing. That is great to see. But for the podcast listeners, Philip in the chat says he's been entering the tournaments the last few weeks. Likes it. Thinks it's made him a better horse player, which that's excellent to hear. You haven't cracked the top 25 yet. You'll get there. I know Dr. Miranda keeps getting close to qualifying for the BCBC in the sense that she'll win the qualifiers and then or the feeders and then it gets into the qualifier and just has like the opposite kind of luck, but you just keep trying, just like we do on the Magic Mike Show.
Yeah, tournaments are all about variance. You got to keep plugging away. You're not winning every day. You need to take advantage of the opportunities you have to win them. I agree with Phil with Pedlo here 100%. When you start trying to handicap for tournaments, you get more creative as a handicapper to find ways to get to long shots, because it's what you have to do in those pick and pray tournaments. And so it really forces you to expand your handicapping abilities and say, okay, how can I make excuses for some of these races? What long shots can step up? What angles work with some of these prices? And so tournaments overall really help your game, even if you're just playing pick fours or pick fives, because it gives you a better idea of what races you're looking for favorites, where you can get around them, where you can find prices. So highly recommend it. It's a cheap entry, fun to play for a full day, and a great way to kind of improve your game.
We're going to be looking at Gulfstream Park Saturday, late pick five. It's not part of that big the big tournament Mike was just referencing, but it is still a fun sequence. And one of these races is a maiden special weight for three-year-olds. We got a couple of very high-priced, highly hyped horses in there. We could see them go on the Derby Trail next time out. So big show. Let's get into it, buddy. Ride is up. All right, Mike, here we go. First leg of the late pick five at Gulfstream Park, Saturday, January 14th, race seven. It's a 5-furlong synthetic sprint for 8 Florida bred fillies and mares, 4 and up. It's the N1X allowance / optional claiming level. Half the field in for that 20K tag. Where'd you go on top?
It's a mouthful, man. A lot of conditions there. I ended up with the 7 David's Rose on top. 2-1 favorite, so no shocker there. Not going way outside the box. But this is just the best horse so far that we've seen on synthetic. Able to come from off the pace, able to go gate to wire. Thought that first off the layoff late in the three-year-old season was a nice effort there. Going 5 flat. Horse is 3-for-9 at the distance. Has a win over this Gulfstream synthetic. To me, it's one of those situations where I think this is probably your best horse in the race. I'm not going to get too crazy and spread out too much, but I'm going to put the 7 David's Rose on top and going too deep here.
I'll also go in too deep. Not my top pick, but I think an excellent play. There's a horse that's common here with the two horses I use. The horse's name is The Last Bullet's Mine. David's Rose was a neck behind, coming 3 months off the layoff last time out, coming from off the pace there. The Bullet's Mine just missed beating my top pick, the two-horse Veloce Bella, who's 3-1 here, by a neck in November, just missed. A big reason I put Veloce Bella on top, I'm looking through this field. She's got a 112 early time form rating. There's nobody that comes anywhere close. Royally Blue is next and is 15 points behind her. I think she's got a huge pace advantage. You know, you look through her past performances and against Florida bred company going 5 furlongs, 2 back on the synthetic. She got out to that 2-3 length lead, and then that was when The Last Bullet's Mine almost caught her. But they were both well clear of the rest of the field by 3.5 lengths. If this race was a step further than 5 furlongs, Mike, I think she's very much in danger here. I think that just from a pure pace perspective, she should keyword, should be able to hold on. Chantel Sutherland back in the saddle, the bug boy, not able to get the job done against Open Company last time out. I will say that the horse that I almost use if I went three deep here is who you're going to use. So talk about the four Soul Hope a little bit too.
Yeah, this is one of those where you look at the horse and you've got two efforts on turf. One of those was a gate to wire win. The other was a nice effort of one by six lengths going 5.5. Both at Colonial Downs for Mary Leitner. Not a trainer that has many horses. Only 24 starts so far in 24 starts total in 2022. However, she hits at a high percent, 25%, and gets Zaya as a board here. That's generally who she uses when she goes to Gulfstream Park. The two have combined for three wins in nine races with a $4.58 ROI in 22 and 23. I think this is one where it has tactical speed, should be able to get forwardly placed with your two horse, and has the ability to close, which is something that I think is key there. So I think the four is going to be rolling a lot better late than the two. You mentioned your two horse, who is lone speed, should be able to get out there. Has quit a couple times when being low speed at 5 furlongs.
Yeah. You know?
And that's where the big worry there is that if Veloce Bella gets any pressure, I'm worried that she's going to fold. So I'm going to go too deep here. I thought about your two, Veloce Bella. I thought about the three, Royally Blue, first time on synthetic last time, had a nice improvement, would need to take a step forward to beat this group. But, you know, you get Vasquez back and then we're protecting the horse. So to me, those are two positive signs. However, I felt like because I want to spread a little bit later and I didn't have a single in the sequence, I almost did, but I decided not to single. I wanted to go too deep here, try and get through this leg a little thin because I do like the favorite on top.
I'm curious to see what your single would be. We'll get to that a little bit later, I guess. I also, for a little bit, I was interested in the Mark Cassie horse. Didn't pull the plug pull the trigger, but the number five, Hard to Capture. I love that it's 8-1 and Saez getting a board. The horse does like to pass on the synthetic. And if you think that Saez is an improvement over Sonny Leone or Himesu Harmu have been aboard the last few races, Saez did ride this horse to break the maiden at Gulfstream Park on the synthetic. As in for the maiden 25, so not a high level. And the buyers really, since then, have not improved very much. So I think we kind of unfortunately know what she is. And, you know, she's early in her four-year-old season. She might have just loved running at three and at the end of last year said, I'm done with this. Like, she didn't just trail off. She fell off the table. Like, and that's a little scary because she wasn't running at a high level to begin with.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of a tough race to be able to find a long shot to go after. I mean, I looked at the five a little bit, looked at the six a little bit, looked at the eight a little bit. But really, to my mind, this really came down to four horses. It's 2, 3, 4, 7 that's going to get through here. And those are your four betting choices or four betting favorites. So didn't want to go too crazy. I would make a case for the six more than anyone else. Love and makes sense. If I was going to try and play a bomb sitting on the board at 12-1. But again, I feel like this field's it's properly priced in that sense. I think the horses that are shorter are the correct horses.
Well, one thing that kind of concerns me about the six as well, because I gave a close look, has two straight wins on synthetic, 5.5 and 5 furlongs, taking a step up in classes over 10 and 12 5K claimers. But Vasquez was the jockey for both of those races. Vasquez has only ridden for trainer David Fisher twice ever. It was those two races, and he jumps back over to the Klisaris horse that he had ridden the last two starts as well. So that to me was, I know the Vasquez, especially non-championship meet, is a horse you love to use down there. So it did worry me a little bit. Isn't Lionel Reyes the jockey that Gulfstream, though, that is known for getting those big giant bombs home? They had a press release like a week ago talking about how he just constantly gets these bombs home. Never play him at a short price, but he can get a bomb.
Yeah, I don't know about constantly, but there. What happens when you get to championship meet is you have Saez, the Ortizes, Rosario take all the money. So you create some huge value on these second tier jockeys in Florida, where if any of them can get the job done, you're going to get a price. That even happened, like Paco Lopez, they got home at 12-1. Without them there, Paco Lopez not getting home at 12-1. Now, you make the argument they're not riding as good of horses when everyone else comes down, and that's one of the reasons, but especially when you get to the lower levels. Now, this isn't quite as low as I would go after. When you get to like the 12.5 claiming level, the $6,250 claimers, chaos can ensue because you have a lot less consistent horses. And sometimes that's where I like to try and hunt bombs when I'm playing Gulfstream.
The scraping the proverbial bottom of the barrel there. Question in chat about, I think it's a question about Saez and Mark Cassie's stats. They're very strong. At Gulfstream, especially 24% out of 29 mounts and a 395 ROI. Overall, 21% and 295 ROI. So Saez gets home the Cassie horses. I think that's as much as anything a testament to his jockey agent, Kieran McLaughlin, the former trainer. McLaughlin, knowing which Cassie horses are You know, when you've got Saez, his book, you can get the best of the best, and he's kind of picking and choosing them. Maybe that's this one we're both saying it's not, but we'll find out later. On Saturday, let's move on. Second leg of the Lake Pick 5 at Gulfstream Park, Saturday, January 14th. Race 7, the one I'm most excited to talk about today. It's a one-turn dirt mile maiden special weight, 11 3-year-old colts and geldings in a race. This could easily produce multiple Derby trail starters. Where'd you go on top here?
Yeah, this is a fun one, man. This is a championship meet maiden special weight. This is kind of what you come to see. You've had a couple of those days where you see monster debuts. We've got Pegasus coming up in just 2 weeks. We're going to have a couple debuters that day, I'm sure. I wouldn't be shocked if one that we've talked about before ends up debuting on Pegasus Day. Well, his older brother is running as well. Look, I thought this race was wildly difficult. I went with Weyhill Road, the 6-horse on top. It's a $1.6 million son of Quality Road. Mainly use this one because when you go back and you watch that race at Keeneland, the first start for this horse on October 21st, 2022, you see the first two victory formation and also run winner in second there. But you go back and look at the rest of the body of that race. It was a very good race. And obviously victory formation has turned into something since that race, winning a stakes race as one of the Derby points horses already. You got to think this horse is going to be prepped and ready to go here. Second time out was just, $3.60 in that race to one. And the third place horse, Communication Memo, as well, has turned out to be a pretty good horse too. So you've got the top three finishers in Victory Formation, Release McCracken, and Communication Memo all do well coming back out of this. Essentially, Weyhill Road was there are three horses that were co-favorites. Two of them finished in front of them. I expect a better effort from Weyhill Road today. And I'm going to lean toward the horse with experience versus the other two that I like in here quite a bit that both are first-time starters.
My top pick as well. I just went too deep. I know you went a little deeper here than I did. And it's a race where I think if you don't like the one of the horses we're going to talk about here in a second, if you don't like him, it almost looks wide open. All great points on Weyhill Road. Victory Formation is now 3-for-3. Release McCracken from this race, finishing second, won two straight races. Communication Memo broke the maiden, not next out, but the start after that. So, like you said, a very solid race. Also, the breeding on this horse, you look at it and go, $1.6 million purchase for this horse. He is a half-brother to Pirate's Punch, Gervin, and our boy Midnight Bourbon. May he rest in peace. And on top of all that, the work back on December 29th, 47-3 from the gate. That's Shook doesn't usually have him go that fast like that. I think this horse is going to fly.
Yeah, it could be very, very tough in here. The other horse I'll let you talk about the other horse you're going to use. One of the two first-time stars I'm interested is on the rail here, Sarah's Shaman. And if this horse ends up on the Derby trail, I'm screwed because I'm going to call him her so many damn times because it's Sarah's there, although I realize the Shaman is the male. Look, Safi, down in Florida, is awfully dangerous. And when a Shaman's Ghost goes for $200,000, stands for $7,500, you got to pay attention. And then you look at the works. I mean, you talked about getting them going. There's a 46-4 work back in September, multiple 59-second works, a bullet last time out with a minute work breezing. This horse is just cooking in the morning, loves Gulfstream Park's track. Don't love the post, but Zayas is 100% trying to send this horse. I mean, you got to think this one's going dead to the front. And this is the type of horse that Safi wins with at the championships meet. So I like the one Sarah Shaman quite a bit here.
If you do, this is the time to play because my guess is this horse wins second out. Shaman Ghost has had 64 horses make it to the races. One of them won their first start. Not known. The Ghost was a great horse. Loved the Ghost, when he was running, but
$200,000.
Very high price. You're right. And it is, you know, there is the trainer stat. He's got his top jockey and Zayas aboard there. I just feel like this horse might need a start to get going, but he's got the works, got multiple bullets even on the short page there. So I'm going to not use because, you know, I also use the two chalk in the first leg. The other horse that I used, we agree on, is the two Kings Barnes debuting for Todd Pletcher, a 7-2 on the morning line, $800,000 son of Uncle Mo out of a Tappet mare. Saez is taking them out, and I think that's interesting that we have Luis Saez and not Irad Ortiz Jr. Ironically, Irad is now taking them out on the Mott horse that Saez rode in its last two starts. And I'm not using, I'm not even touching that one. But a big reason that I like Kings Barnes here has been working with Classy Edition, who is a grade two placed older filly. She was second to Kathleen O back in the heyday last year. And then Shesterkin, also worked with Shesterkin, who just broke his maiden on debut a week or two ago, who's another solid looking prospect for Todd Pletcher. That's a big surprise. Uncle Mo, 14% with first time starters. There's plenty of distance pedigree on both sides. So I think debuting at a mile, it's one turn. I think this horse is going to be pretty decent. The works are not super sharp. It's supposedly, reading the Clocker reports, the horse has looked good. But when I just look at the numbers here, there's really not a lot that says this horse has got speed. And so we might be waiting for this horse to try and come from off the pace. It's a little nerve-wracking.
I think that's why they're starting at a mile. It just feels like they wanted to have that full distance so you have some ability to close. I would expect Kings Barnes not on the lead. It's probably sitting mid-pack somewhere trying to make one run around the turn, which would be awfully difficult to do for a first-time starter. One of my bigger concerns with this horse is that you just didn't see that early move that you want to see from a Pletcher horse. I mean, when you think about the Pletchers that went up at Saratoga first time out and here at Gulfstream first time out, a lot of them are shorter than a mile. And most of them are on or very near the lead, and we're not getting either of those here. So makes me a little bit concerned. I think that's why you're getting 7-2 and not a lower price here. Also, a very competitive race, so that's another reason you're getting 7-2. But if there were bullets on the page, my guess is this horse is like 6-5, 7-5 going off. Because there's not, I'm guessing you're going to end up around 3-1. I would be surprised if Kings Barnes isn't your favorite, though, because I know this horse has already gathered some Derby buzz.
Let's talk about some of the other ones that you like. You went five deep here. I did allude to it. So let's talk about the 9, Game Warden. Luis Saez rode in the horse's last two starts, making his first start as a 3-year-old for Bill Mott. It's a $400,000 purchase. I couldn't use because there wasn't anything on the page that made me go, yeah, this is a horse that I want to use. Other than possibly IRAD hopping aboard, is that what put you on the horse?
Well, the experience and IRAD are the two big keys for me here. In a race where you've got, you know, the horses that we're talking about, you've got one with one start and two first-time starters. I get a horse that has three starts at three different tracks, has been around a little bit, and I really like that last work. One thing we talk about is those 3-furlong works to get a horse ready off a layoff. Mott doesn't do that all that often, and he did it in this case. Blitzes 36 seconds, gets a bullet for that 3-furlong work, coming back to the racetrack here. I expect we see a different horse now that we're a little bit older. I'm thinking Lasix is also going to make a difference here, so I'm hoping I'm correct on that front. And like you said, it tracks IRAD up, and you get a 12-1 price. There's just too much to like here in a race where I'm interested in spreading out because we do have first-time starters I think are going to get bet. I'm interested in trying to take a little some of the experienced horses and see if we can kind of get a price home in that sense.
Maybe the distance will be healthy. By Tappet, Avondale, Doro Mary, you think distance is only going to help this horse. So we did go well on 16th and nothing happened there. Talk about the other horse you're using. A big bomb here. And why are you using the 8-winger?
Your boy, Dale Romans, baby. Your boy. I like 21 to price. I like Miguel Vasquez. I also like the fact that if you go back and you watch that race, it was a complete draw the line through type start. The horse jumped at the break, never really had a chance, was wide the whole time, broke mid pack and veered out. Like it was an awful, awful debut. Romans actually is a little better. Second time maiden, 14% versus 9% overall numbers. I like the additional Lasix, something that he's 17% with a $2.30 ROI. Sprint to route, he's got a $4.54 ROI. And I just thought that first start's a complete chuck. And so I think I'm going to get a really good price on a horse that I think has some talent. I'm not sure if he's good enough to beat the rest of this, but I think you're getting every bit of that 20-1, probably a little bit higher come race day in a race where if the 1 and 2 don't fire and the 6 is only as good as he was in debut, this thing is wide open. And so I'm looking for a horse that's second time starter, has a chance to take a big step forward, who had trouble in their first race for kind of for connections where I'm not going to call them elite, but what I will say is they can be very sneaky, right? Like it's those, if a Romans runs off the screen, you're not shocked. You're usually pissed, but you're not shocked, right? And so it's one of those situations where I'm going to take a little bit of a swing with a 20-1 shot here in winger.
Luckily, of all the things that get me pissed regularly, Dale Romans isn't one of them because that doesn't really happen and often enough for it to really get me mad. I will say the horse that won that race, that was, by the way, on the Stars of Tomorrow 2 card. So a very important, just the fact that the horse was debuting that day, you got to give a little bit of a plus. The winner, Gun Pilot, his race at Oaklawn Park is about an hour and 40 minutes earlier than this, if my math is correct. So watch race. If you like this horse or you're interested, watch race four at Oaklawn. See how Gun Pilot does there and then decide if you want to bet. Because if Gun Pilot does, you know, extremely well, you know, he was a long shot that day. He's going to be a long shot at Oaklawn. If he does really well, then it definitely gives you some more points for Winger's favor. Let's talk real quick and we can move on about the 10 equal protection. You see that he debuted at Aqueduct with Manny Franco. This is like the one horse Manny Franco couldn't get to the winner's circle at Aqueduct lately. Was the 3-5 favorite, but if you're looking at the PPs, that E means that it was a split entry. So you had two different Chad Brown Klarovich horses in there. This is one of those things that Mike likes to get mad about, understandably, because the horse that everybody was betting was the horse that finished second, Index Fund. I don't think anybody wanted to take equal protection there at 3-5, and that's why you're now getting 8-1 on the horse here.
Kind of surprised this horse isn't turf sprinting, to be honest with you. I mean, we've seen McLean's Music be a very good turf sprinting sire, and Chad Brown obviously better on the turf than the dirt. So a little surprised we haven't gone that route. Maybe one more abysmal loss will send us in that direction. But you hit the nail on the head. Everyone was betting the other half of the entry that day, not this half. So don't get fooled by that short price favorite for Chad Brown on debut. It was not because of this horse's talent. It was because of the others.
Let's move on. Speaking of turf, we got the first of two turf races here at Gulfstream Park on Saturday, January 14th. Race 9 is the Sunshine Filly and Mare Turf Stakes. We've got 9 Florida bred fillies and mares, 4 and up, going a mile. On the lawn, where'd you go in this third leg?
So this is where I would have singled, and it would have been the 7 Sugar Fix, which I don't think you're using. So it's going to be a little bit interesting here. Look, Sugar Fix has, in my mind, did you use Sugar Fix?
I did, yeah. I just had to make sure that I had to go check. I was like, did I write something down wrong? I did use it, yeah.
Look, you look at the rest of these horses. They're all stepping up except for the 4, which we'll get to in a second. Everyone else is stepping up in class. Sugar Fix has been running against better. I mean, the Kentucky Downs race that he won was against significantly better. The Restricted Stakes race, I thought, had better horses at Santa Anita as well as at Del Mar. We come back. We ran at Golden Gate. That was a disaster. But now we get back on turf. This is where this horse loves to run. I mean, 5-18 at the distance on the turf, 3-8 at Gulfstream, 2 seconds. And in my mind, sits the perfect trip here as well. There is enough speed that Sugar Fix should sit right behind that flight and be able to make a run into it. Gulfstream Park, you got to be more forwardly placed. Sugar Fix will be, I'm guessing, sitting 3rd or 4th around that first turn. To me, it's all systems go here. If I was going to single in this sequence, it would be the 7 Sugar Fix.
Was also my top pick here. Just an absolute wind machine of a horse, 11-26 on the turf. You have to like that they claimed her for 62.5, you know, more than halfway through her 5-year-old season. So how much does she really have left in her? She's a granddaughter of Galileo, but Treasure Beach mares aren't exactly going for, you know, 6 figures at the auction ring. So I assume that they bought her from Safi Joseph with the intention of continuing to run her for a while here rather than retire her soon. There is always that risk of claiming off of Safi. You don't always know what you're going to get with the horse, but in this instance, the fact that she maintained good form in those stakes races on the turf in California, now she shows up here. I also like the fact that even though Hess is located or based in California, he did send her out here early enough that she did get a little bit of time to acclimate. She has a work over the synthetic course. She won this race last year when it was rained off of the turf and put onto the synthetic. Or I'm sorry, she was second in it, didn't win it. But she did win the Claiming Crown Tiara Stakes that you talked about on the turf one race before that. So as long as she shows up with her usual effort and you're seeing Gaffalione aboard, he's a great rider at Gulfstream, as we know. I love this spot. I went 3 deep here. I did not use the other horse you're using. You want to talk about the 4?
Yeah, the 4, Sweet Danny Girl. To me, this is just the first time she gets on turf, a horse that I think is going to be forwardly placed. I mentioned you want to be forwardly placed here over this Gulfstream Park turf course. Gets Rosario. Jess's dream has been a sire that can get home both turf or dirt horses. And you go back and you look at who she faced last year. I mean, in the 8 Bells, it was Maturea. In the Devona Dale, it was Kathleen O. I mean, facing significantly better horses. The big question here is going to be whether or not we can convert this over to the turf. If we can, I wouldn't be shocked if she's able to take this field gate to wire, because she does seem like the speed of the speed. Obviously, Rosario throws a little bit of a question mark in there because we know what Rosario does sometimes. But you have a horse that clearly is talented, you know, wins on debut, comes back, runs well, wins the stakes race right away, goes into graded company, trying the turf for the first time. If she takes to the turf, she could be very dangerous up front. And if she gets loose, 7-2 is going to look like a gift.
That's true. There is that danger that she could go to. I'm just going to take the shot against her that I don't think that she ends up taking to the turf quite as well. She had a little bit of an abbreviated season last year. You see what happens with her. I would like to see a better price on her than 7-2 if I'm going to play her in here. But, the buyers from the dirt, if she takes a step forward at age 4 and can transfer it to the turf, it works. To me, just too many question marks, but I see why you used her. I went with the number 2 Avow for my second choice, 4-1 for Todd Pletcher, another horse trying turf for the first time. She was a very talented dirt sprinter, respectable against open company last time out. It was a race that we actually had previewed here on the Magic Mike show and just had some traffic issues back a little too far. Now she's going to get Irad Ortiz Jr. No shot at Zayas, no, nothing against Edgard Zayas, but Irad is Pletcher's number one guy for a reason. She is bred to love going two turns, arrogate out of a Warfront mare, and I'm hoping that the Warfront mare is what helps her do well on the turf. The dam was a grade 3 winner on turf going a mile. So if she takes to the turf, just like we're saying with the 4, if she takes to the turf, I think she's better. You have the advantage that the 4 is probably going to be the early speed. I had the advantage that I've got Irad Ortiz Jr. That's my advantage.
That's fair. I mean, some people like Rosario more than Irad, but I don't think either of them are on this stream right now. The 2 is the 6 and the 2 were the other two horses I considered in this spot. So I totally understand the use on the 2. Arrogate, about a third as good on turf as dirt, but you mentioned the Warfront on the bottom side. That is going to be a key as to whether or not this horse is able to handle the turf and kind of get that two-turn turf for the first time. It's interesting because it really feels like Sugar Fix is the best turf horse. And then there's some horses in here that are question marks that you can try and beat Sugar Fix with. But I wouldn't go crazy in this spot either, trying to play 5, 6, 7 of them. It's really use Sugar Fix and maybe 1 or 2 if you like them, or just single Sugar Fix and get through this.
So the last horse that I used is actually the one Dr. Tang's talking about as well. I don't think the 9's going to go to the lead. I think she's going to sit right off. It's because they're taking the blinkers off of her for the first time since she had her debut here. But she's going to be second off of a 6-month break, going sprint to route, back on her preferred service. If you look through her past performances, 2 other times she went sprint to route. The first time she did it, she broke her maiden. The second time she did it, she ended up running 3rd behind 2 next out winners in Amusing Antics and Love in the Air. She's been facing very good horses for the levels where she's been. She fits at this spot, I think, Florida bred stakes wise. Jose Ortiz is riding for Patrick Biancone, and that to me is a big upgrade over the other jockeys who've been aboard. Jose was aboard her 2 back when she was at Belmont, and yeah, and something must have happened because we didn't see her for over 6 months. But I'd love the fact that she's 10-1 here. We'll see what happens. It's funny on DRF in the past performances, there's a note from the handicapper that says, give her a shot if Andy Biancone gives her a good case on FanDuel TV. It's nice to see DRF is advertising for other people's productions in their own daily racing forums here. But yeah, there is a point there. I also, by the way, I love the fact that she was missed second by a nose when she was in against Florida Bred Stakes Company at Tampa Bay Downs last year. Shifty She won that race, the Distaff Turf. Shifty She was 3-5 favorite. And he went gate to wire and was never, ever touched. So the fact that she just kind of ran 3rd in place behind Shifty Sheep for the whole race, I don't have a problem with that.
In my 2 biggest knocks, first off, going from 7.5 to a mile and 16th is not a sprint to a route. But I'll let it go for now.
No. 5 furlongs to a mile and then 7 furlongs to 7.5, which is 2 turns of Gulfstream. It has happened twice before.
Oh, 7 furlongs on the dirt to 7.5 on the turf, though.
It's sprint to route. I didn't say turf sprint to route. I said sprint to route.
Fine.
She's also going synthetic to turf here. Like there's, she can handle it.
My other knock is we've talked about this on the show before. I hate it when your career best buyer is not winning a race in a stakes race, because that is like the most common time that you see these fluctuated buyers, because you have the winner putting up a big number and a very talented winner in Shifty She dead on there. And the horses behind her get inflated numbers because they ran behind her. We don't even know how much Shifty She tried in that race in 3-5 going gate to wire. And so it's one of those spots where like, I wish there was something else on the paper I could point to there with her. But I mean, that being said, like Bleecker Street, also a very good horse, faced her at Churchill Downs in a grade 3. The allowance she came out of was a very good allowance at Belmont. So it's not like she hasn't faced very good horses, even trained Artemis last time out, pretty good horse. So the competition's there. Jose picking up the mounts, obviously a positive. The price, probably about right. I mean, I would want closer to 15-1, but I'm not going to knock the 10-1 number too much.
Once you start getting into double digits, it's all just kind of a wash anyway. Let's move on, Mike. The penultimate leg of the late pick five at Gulfstream Park on Saturday, January 14th, race 10. It's the Sunshine Sprint Stakes for 7 Florida bred males, 4 and up, going 6 furlongs on the dirt. Where are you going on top?
This is a tricky little race. I mean, it's only 7 horses, but man, I could make a case for pretty much every single one of these if you wanted to, like, just finagle the numbers. I ended up with the 2 Gatsby on top. I've been a sucker for this horse. I like this one. He's won a couple races for me. Last time out was the first time off the layoff. Ran at Tampa Bay in a similar style race, 7 furlongs. Ended up finishing 3rd to Octane and Willie Boy in that spot. Willie Boy, phenomenal Florida bred. Been able to get the job done in a lot of places. Octane, also very good Florida bred. So don't mind finishing 3rd behind those two. Need to take a step forward off that race to beat this one. But I like the fact we're going to be able to sit the right trip, being close to the pace, but also have the ability to kick on when needed. So I went with the 2 Gatsby on top in what I thought was a pretty tough race.
My top pick as well, 2nd off the layoff, renamed Luis Saez, who rode him last year when they won this race. Fun fact about Gatsby, one of only 2 horses to ever beat Golden Pal in America, the other one being Caravelle when that whole thing, I could talk about that. But the point is Gatsby's been very good from the very beginning. I like all the points that you made there. I went 2 deep here. I also used the number 4 Legends Can't Die, which I think they named this horse after the Magic Mike Show Fantasy League team. Posted a field best last race buyer of 92 with Luis Saez riding. Saez is going to be back aboard Gatsby. So, darn, we lose Saez. Oh, we're getting Joel Rosario. We love Joel Rosario on the show. Horse is interesting, has shown speed, and that's how it got the win in the optional claimer at Saratoga. Tried going gate to wire, going 7 furlongs here, last out. Didn't hold on, but Endorsed is a horse that's very classy, you know, very much more experienced on dirt than Legends Can't Die. Only one work since that race was a Bullet 47 flat, best of 40, for 4 furlongs. It's not something that George Weaver does with horses, is try to get them to, you know, just go 47 flat for one work to get them ready for a stakes race. So I think that was damn impressive. Showed that the horse can hit. I just hope he doesn't bounce, because that 92 does scream a potential to bounce. We had the 86 high buyer on turf last summer, and then the horse, you know, back-to-back 77s after that. So hoping that this time we step up to stakes company doesn't burn us.
This is the one I'm scared of that I'm not using. The main reason I'm not using Legends Can't Die is Lightning Larry. If the one horse scratches out of this race for some reason, I'm much more interested in the 4. The 4 horses' best races have all come up front, right? You mentioned the 86 buyer and then that 92 just missing. Both of those were attempts to go gate to wire. If Lightning Larry's in here, he can't go gate to wire. And that becomes a problem for me with the 4 Legends Can't Die, because Lightning Larry is the fastest early of any of these horses. I think goes right out to the lead. And if the 4 wants the lead, you're going to pay the price. And there's some pretty good horses that are going to try and run you down here. I did use 2 others here. I used Unsociable, the 3. This one to me is a pretty interesting horse. And only run on synthetic, never touched the dirt. Maker claims this horse off Safi, which, as you mentioned, can be a concern sometimes. But Irad's the one who takes the mount here. And Irad picking up the mount tells me pretty much everything I need to know about this horse being ready to roll. And isn't this the type of horse that Mike Maker just wins these type of stakes races with? Where it's kind of like, oh, okay, we're going to use that horse and we're going to step him forward and win the race. If this horse takes the dirt, the numbers fit with the rest of this field. You're going to get the right trip in my mind, because it's a stalking trip. If the 1 and the 4 go and anyone else decides to show any pace, the winner of this race is coming from off the race. If the 1 and 4 go together, the winner of this race is most likely coming off the pace. And the 3 horse is one of those where I have a feeling if you take a step forward, you can be competitive with this field. Kind of surprised that this is your second choice in the morning line. I was expecting a little bit better of a price when I handicapped this, but I'm going to stick with the 4. I ended up 3 deep here. Give me the longest shot on the board, baby. Give me Cajun's Magic all the way down on the bottom for my boy Michael Yates. This is a horse that just faced a lot better last year. You go back, you look at the Holy Bull, Wedibario, Simplification, Modongo, all come back and win. They tried to stretch this horse out and get him on the Derby trail. It was a mistake. This horse is a one-turn horse, not a two-turn horse. Now we're getting back to one turn. You know, I realize we're coming off a pretty lengthy layoff here. But I also like the fact that Michael Yates is 20% off of these type of layoffs. And we've got a 47-2 workout out of the gate last time. 5th of 186 horses. One of those sneaky workouts that I like. When you have a bunch of workouts that aren't in the gate, and then you have 186 horses, so bolting there is wildly difficult. But that little five makes the workout sneaky. If it was a bullet, everyone points to it, looks at it, talks about it. Because that number five is there instead of a number one, that workout gets overlooked. I think Cajun Magic is going to be ready to go here. Might be a little bit too tall of a task, but it's the longest shot on the board in these type of pick five sequences. I'm willing to take a shot here with a seven. So I ended up 2-3-7.
Well, and something that you like to talk about is that a horse is getting back to what it's best at after trying the Derby trail. And this horse, when he was doing one turn, had two wins, a second by a half a length, and then a second in a Florida Bred Stakes race. They got Derby fever. They tried it. Didn't work. My concern is that maybe they broke this horse because they tried to get him back to seven furlongs in the Big Drama Stakes against Florida Breds last time out back in May. And again, he just had nothing left there. Did face Willie Boy, but never really was gaining on anybody in that field. But you mentioned the four is one that you're worried about. I'm worried about this horse. I'm not worried about Unsociable as much. Safi, now it's Maker that claimed him. So that Maker's usually very good off the claim. But horses claimed from Safi that run in a stakes in their first start for their new connections, they're 0-13, and only two of them ever hit the board. They got third, and they were far behind the winner both of those spots. That said, you've got a horse that's 5-8 lifetime. It's all on synthetic. So it's a big if, but if the horse takes to dirt and if he can handle six furlongs because he never tried beyond 5.5, yeah, he's interesting here. I also went chalky in that first leg. I couldn't afford to use 2, 3, and 4 here. So I'm going to leave the 3 off and just hope that Irad in his 4-7 at Gulfstream Mark with Mike Maker doesn't bite me in the ass.
Like I said, it's a tough race. You could make a case Lightning Larry is going to take this field gate to wire. I can make a pretty good case for Legal Deal. I mean, Boca Boy to me at 8-1 is the only horse I really don't have that much interest in. You can make a solid case for 6 out of these 7 horses if you wanted to.
So what you're saying is Boca Boy is going to win this. No, that
walking
would be
right into the winner's circle, baby.
Boy, 0-8 last year against pretty much all allowance company. And first start of 2023.
At Thistle, Indian, and Hawthorne. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Let's move on. 5th and final leg of the late pick 5 at Gulfstream Park on Saturday, January 14th, race 11. We're back on the turf. Boy, lots of things might go wrong in this race. 12 maiden 3-year-old fillies in for a $25,000 tag, going a mile on the grass. Where'd you go on top?
Give me the 3, 8-1. Good, better, best. This is one that I just thought was really interesting in this spot, mainly because of the claim there by Fausto Gutierrez last time out and the pickup mount from Jose Ortiz in this spot. We talked about how good speed was on turf. To me, good, better, best is your speed of the speed here. I think gets the lead pretty easily from that 3 post. Look, this horse has been popular at the claim box for a horse that has never won. Claimed for $30,000, 2 back off Brad Cox. Heads over to the Chris Hartman barn, gets claimed right away out of there for $20,000. Collected about the same on dirt and turf, so you should expect about the same ability in both surfaces. Fausto Gutierrez, first off the claim, 30%, $7.60 ROI. First time turf, 36%, $7.94 ROI. First time Lasix, 23%, $2.82 ROI. Dirt to turf, 28%, $6.43 ROI. And oh, by the way, Jose Ortiz thinks it's a good idea to ride the speed of the speed. Yeah, give me the 3 on top.
That usually worked out pretty well when Latruska was in her A game, right? Fausto puts Jose on and just says, go, off you go. I'm with this. This was also my top pick, and I think Fausto bought this horse off of trainer Chris Hartman thinking turf. The fact that she shows up right here, I think he was like, you know what? I think this might be a turf horse. Let's give her a shot. You rattled off all those extremely impressive stats, and she hasn't raced on turf, but you see that the second work since Fausto claimed her was on the turf down here at Gulfstream Park at the Palm Meadows facility. So he did get a chance to see a couple of weeks before, a week before entries were taken, got to see what she could do on grass and still said, even though it wasn't a flashy speed, he saw what she could do and said, we're going to go ahead and use her. I love the fact that she seems like she's going to be a gate to wire horse. I really don't think that the rail horse has any kind of early speed. If you look at the works, the 2 has never shown any kind of speed early. So it should be relatively easy. You would hope for the 3 to get up and get to the lead. I just realized, I think Fausto owns this horse as well. The owner is Don Fausto Racing. I bet that's Fausto Gutierrez's nom de plume for owning. So I love that we agree there. Who's your next up?
I only went 2 deep here. Give me the 9 horse Wand, who I think makes a ton of sense. The Todd Pletcher horse dropping from the $50,000 optional claiming level down to the 25. Just missed at that 50 level, going a mile over the Gulfstream Park turf course. Was a pretty good favorite that day. It got a ground saving trip, but the rail isn't always a great trip. Didn't get loose until a little bit after, I think, Luis wanted to get loose that day. probably your best horse in the race, just from a, what you've seen on paper perspective, deserving 8-5 favorite here. I'm just going to close out going 2 deep here. I'm not spending much, just $60 on this pick 5. So I would love the 3 to go gate to wire, close it out with an 8-1 shot, but I'm going to use the chalk as my other horse here.
That was my second up as well. I don't need to build off of yet. Good points there. Next up for me, I'll use the number 4 lead performer for trainer Chris Davis. Edwin Gonzalez going to hop aboard. Scratch off that race last out at Presque Isle Downs. I'm guessing that was her only race without Lasix. I'm going to guess that she bled because we haven't seen her for a few months. She drops from maiden special weights. She was running against lesser competition, Belterra Park, Indiana Grand, Presque Isle. Shows up here. This feels like a good spot for her to drop into. She was only a $20,000 purchase when Pioneer the Nile, when he was still standing, still alive, was, you know, going for six figures just to mate with the horse. So I think this is a good spot. She does have speed, early speed. You see in the her last two starts that she was very forwardly placed. I think that's going to help her chances because when we talk about a lot, when you get down to this bottom of the level, you need the speed. And for if the 3, you know, stumbles out of the gate or just doesn't take to the turf in any way, shape, or form, this might end up being one of the horses on the lead early there. And so I like that I've got that going for that horse. I went to the 5 deep here, so I'll go through them quickly. I used the 11 Cloud Storage at 7-2. Antonio Sano and Irad Ortiz Jr., 7-14 together. What? I had no idea. I just looked at that stat and I kept thinking, who the hell is he riding for Sano that he's winning 7-14? It's working out pretty well. Cloud Computing 4-11 with first time or horse's first time on turf, 2-10 when that's happening on grass. And so that to me is a good angle. But really, this was mostly about Irad riding. The post is not going to do any favors here, but you know, it is Irad riding for Sano 7-14. It's literally a coin flip if this horse is going to win or not. I'll take the shot. Blinkers are coming off, so we're making a couple adjustments while making a slight class drop after Fady seeing maiden 35s. Actually, I should say Sano bought the horse for 25K two starts back. That is the horse's best effort on paper, so it seems like this is a logical use here. And then last up, before I throw it to you for you to tear me apart on these picks, I'm going to go bombs away. 7, Deliciosa. This horse is 30-1 trying to debut, but I gave you the stats for Cloud Computing. I also think the dam's going to help a lot here. The dam had a win, also 2 seconds by a neck and a half length in her career. Every time that she raced was well over a mile in length, even including when she debuted. So there's turf and there's a lot of distance pedigree coming here. So the two turns for this horse debuting at over a mile, I think that'll help this horse out a little bit. I didn't have any other bombs away, and I kind of like this one enough to put on the ticket. I said, "Yeah, let's do it. 30-1 shot for Gustavo Guevara. Let's see if we can get him his second career win as a trainer right here."
Yeah, what could go wrong, right? I'm not going to knock you on 30-1. I'll never knock anyone on 30-1. If you like him, bet him. Go for it. The 11, I like the fact they tried to get this horse on turf the last two races. So it was rained off onto the synthetic, then they tried to move up, got rained off, went back. I hate the post. And this is one of those spots where at this level, there's just too much to overcome from that 11 post, even for someone like Irad. I like the 4. That was my third horse, so I had no disagreement there. If I went 4 deep, I would have used the 2 as my next one on. That last one, I think you could just draw a line through, watch the replay. No one closed a lick in that race. And the two favorites kind of tried to come running, but the horse that won, one gate to wire, one easily, small field, the rails were out. It was very much a speed favoring track that day. So the 2 horse who was a pretty heavy favorite last time out, now you're getting 6-1 on the morning line. I think it's a little bit interesting in that front. But I'm going to stick with the 2 deep there. If you want to get nutty to me, the nutty horse is on the rail. The 1, D-City Girl, 30-1 on the morning line. A trainer that just doesn't win ever. So that's why you're getting 30-1 there. But the pedigree is good enough that I'd be a little bit interesting. I like Temple City's going a mile on the turf. If you look at the dam, she has produced a turf winner. So that's something, right? So if I was going to get nutty, it'd be the 1 horse at 30-1. However, to me, this is clearly the speed of the 3 and the talent of the 9 or the overlays here.
Yeah, that one's got a bug jockey who's 1-24 at the championship meet. 6% winners last year. I looked at the 1, and if this horse wasn't on the rail, I think he'd have a better chance. But I think this horse is going to be a step slow out of the gate. The bug's not going to know to push, and he's going to get shuffled all the way to the back real fast because that turn comes up real quick, and everybody's going to be coming over on him. So,
yeah, but 30-1.
Yeah, you're getting 30. Exactly. You're getting 30-1, and it's the maiden 25K level at Gulfstream. It's not exactly like we're looking for some grade 1 winners out of this race either. That's going to do it for this episode of the Magic Mike Show. Thanks for joining us to go through Gulfstream Park's late pick five on Saturday, January 14th. And hey, you've got extra reasons to play now because Santa Anita canceled their Saturday card because it's, thank God we're not doing a live show Saturday because it would not go well for my internet here. But thankfully we don't have to worry about that. If you are going to be playing, interested in our tickets, we're going to put them down below. We'll do them one more time for the podcast listeners. Mike, I'll start. I'm going to go 2-7 with 2-6 with 2-7-9 with 2-4 with 3-4-7-9-11. That's a $60 ticket. You also played $60, but just some different horses there.
Yes, sir. Give me the 4-7 with the 1-2-6-8-9 with the 4-7 with the 2-3-7 with the 3-9. Guys, cost you $60 for 50 cents.
I had a question from, I'm going to guess it's Sean. That might be Sean. However, actually tell us in the chat because there's like a 10-second delay. So tell us how you pronounce your first name. I'd love to know it. But question, do you guys ever do standard breads only when really drunk and there's nothing else to do on a Thursday night for me is my answer.
Only when there's a carryover. I played the Meadowlands pick six and pick four carryovers last weekend. So I'll occasionally dabble in that kind of stuff.
There's somebody who, so Michael Myers is a good friend of the show and he's in the Racing Dudes Triple Crown Fantasy League. He knows somebody on Twitter who's really good. He puts out spot plays for a lot of times for like Woodbine Mohawk. The guy puts out spot plays. And it's kind of like you when you put out a spot play for like, hey, Parks has a carryover and here's a $67 ticket. Let's cash for $2,300. He does stuff like that. For the life of me, I can't remember who he is. And then Michael's not in the live chat right now. So I'll try and figure that out. If you come back to another show, I'll try and get that information for you. But yeah, we don't do that. Don't mess with quarter horses. I know you've dabbled in quarter horses a little bit.
Yeah, I like playing the quarter horses. I mean, to me, it's a very similar handicap. And the $2 pick six at Los Alamitos is a fun one to play. The one turn races at Los Al give me headaches, man. I cannot stand those races in the early pick four. But some of the late pick four ones are fun. And then there was that just epic run at Remington, where if you were not the 1, the 2, the 9, or the 10, you couldn't win a race. And it was like literally four straight weeks where it was inside and outside. And I was blindly playing inside two horses, outside two horses, pick fours, every single pick four sequence, and actually crushed it. Like, it was amazing how well that did for a 2 or 3 week stretch down there at Remington. But not too much quarter horse or standard bred action for me. Although I used to love going to Hawthorne Park when I was in Chicago in high school. We would drive out there. Yeah. Oh yeah. We probably shouldn't have, but you can go and you could buy a box with like, which was like two or four recliners and your own betting window and a TV. And it cost you $12 for the night. So four of us would go out there and get a box with this, I think, set up at Hawthorne Park, which is not in the little seedy area of town. And we go there and just have an absolute blast, man. It was awesome.
Aside from Del Mar, I don't know if I've ever, and Keeneland. I don't know if there's a track out there that isn't like, here's the track, seedy, right next to it there. It's Churchill, boy, the lights go down and the sun goes down around Churchill. You want to get the hell out of that area real quick. Sorry, Dennis, no offense. Dennis would probably say the same thing, actually. All right, so that's it for the horse racing talk. Thanks for joining us. We do have a couple things to talk about. Well, three things to talk about that are happening. What, six? How many games? Six games this weekend. The NFL wildcard is this weekend. Mike Somich put up an article at racingdudes.com right now. If you're watching the video, you see it here. But going through his field of six games, I almost said races, and his best bets for the thing. So talk about this, and I guess you don't have to go through all six of them, but which is the game you're most excited about this weekend?
Well, see, that's a tough question. Most excited about is Jacksonville against the Chargers, because I think that's going to be the most fun. I feel
it's like our two Super Bowl preseason teams going head to head.
I feel like that's not fair, but yeah, sort of. Because I did pick the Chiefs, although I have wildly big tickets on Jacksonville.
That's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah.
The Giants Vikings game is going to be like banging your head against a wall and then painting that wall. And then you're going to have the, who is it? The Tampa Bay game on Sunday. Tampa Bay against, why can't I think of who they're playing? Oh, the Cowboys. It's going to be like watching that paint dry because that game is going to be absolutely atrocious. So although those are two closely spread games, I don't think either of them are going to necessarily be good games. That Jacksonville Chargers game, you could tell me anything's going to happen and I would believe you. It could be an absolutely wild game. They might score 6 points. Either one could totally happen. From a betting perspective, I love the Dolphins, or I love the Bills this weekend. They're going to blow out my Dolphins. I'm a huge Dolphins fan. I'm completely realistic in the sense that we have no chance to win come Sunday or Saturday or wherever the hell we're playing. I don't even know. I think it's Saturday. I think we're the first game, actually. Yeah. The line opened at like 7. It moved up to 9. Then there was reports 2 of my play dropped to 7. He was never playing. Now it's up to 13. I bet it at 12. I would bet it again here at 13. Buffalo has the ability to blow teams out. We saw them beat the Patriots 44-7 in this round last year. Kind of wild stats for this round. I don't know if you've heard these. The last 12 favorites, actually, you read my article, so you have heard these. The last 12 favorites of 9-plus points in the wildcard round have all covered. 9-0, or 12-0, perfect against the spread. And in the last 12 years, a 62-game sample size, only 7 teams have lost but covered the spread. So if you don't think the team can win, 89% of the time, they cover the spread, the team that wins. So in my mind, this is one where Buffalo is just going to be able to run all over the Dolphins. They're going to be able to move the football at will. Dolphins can't really move the football with Skylar Thompson. They're going to try and run the ball. Buffalo's going to respond with 8 or 9 in the box, and it's not going to be pretty. So the Bills minus 13 are probably the bet I am most confident in this weekend. The other big spread, I actually like. I like San Francisco's rushing game quite a bit. They haven't shown lines yet for the rushing total, team total. The game total is set at 264 yards. You're probably going to get about 100 to 115 of those yards allocated to Seattle. So you should be able to get San Francisco 49ers over 150 rushing yards as a team. I love that if you can get it. The total for McCaffrey is 77.5. I like that quite a bit on the over. Seattle has the worst rush defense in the NFL. They give off the most yards in the 16 weeks of any of the 32 teams. And this is the spot where when Kyle Shanahan's on, you know, he has never won a playoff game when he has called more than 19 pass plays. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
Yeah.
Does that include him as the OC for the Falcons?
Only as a head coach. Although I would be interested to see those as well, because I bet it's not as high as you think, even though Matt Ryan was slinging it around for him. So he's going to run the ball, especially with Brock Purdy, a quarterback. You're going to get a lot of San Francisco run game against a bad run defense. To me, it sets up perfectly to take the overs on the rushing side. Debo's set at like 18.5 yards, I believe, total. I would take the over on Debo. I bet he gets 3 or 4 carries and gets over that number pretty easily with those. So I like San Francisco's running game as well in that spot. Unfortunately, the teaser I called out in the article has already been blown. We wrote it this morning when the line was 8.5. The line is now 10. Cincinnati minus 10. I was teasing Cincy down to minus 2.5. I would simply take the under in the Tampa game where I had the other part of the teaser. I don't think that Tampa or Dallas is going to be very efficient on offense. Tampa just will not stop trying to run the ball, even though they can't. And Dallas actually can run the ball a little bit, but Tampa's rush defense significantly better with Vita Vea in the lineup. So I think you end up seeing an under on Monday night.
You got to almost feel bad for the 49ers because I remember they traded their first round pick so that they could draft Trey Lance. And then for McCaffrey, they gave up their second, third, and fourth round picks. Is he still healthy? And all of the stats that you rattled off say this is a good play. This is why I think they traded second, third, and fourth round picks for Christian McCaffrey, was for a spot like this. So I think it's a great play. That's, to me, I think is going to be a great bet. Love to see, you know, no offense, I'd love to see the Chargers beat the Jaguars for you. I got Dr. Tang on my side. That's usually a good thing when it comes to betting the NFL.
Spoiler alert, I picked the Chargers in the article.
I was trying not to tell. Okay, there you go. There's one of the results from the article. Go, if you want the rest of them, go read it. You can see what's happening. And thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back on Monday. Go over the Derby and Oaks news. There'll be no official Derby preps, but we have some movers and shakers happening this weekend. And so we'll give you all those updates on Monday. Let's see. Blinkers Off was already live today. And a nice short show. You can go listen to Jared and Aaron give their thoughts on the Derby and Oaks trails right now. And then Dudes Who Bet Sports was out. Dudes Who Bet Daily will be back. We're here every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. with our best bets from the horse racing and sports worlds. My horse racing pick for today at Gulfstream didn't win, but thank God neither did the Dale Roman's horse. So I got that going for me at least.
I got your back, man. Don't worry. Mine romped Gate to Wire 2-1. So we got that. We got that nice little one home. Aaron still has a Charlestown race coming up today. I'm trying to figure out what race it is real quick here. I think it's the 7th. Yeah, he's got the 3 horse in the 7th at Charlestown. It's his best bet. Papa Dude still has Washington minus 2 out there.
Aaron made Carl Ramrod almost fall out of his chair seeing Charlestown was going to be a best bet on Dudes Who Bet daily. So thanks for tuning in. You can always catch the replay at youtube.com/racingdudes. That's where it is. You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at Curtis Kellewaard. He's at SamaBomb18, #1, #8, Corporate Overlords, at @racing_dudes. Until Monday, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
Good luck this week, everybody.
The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.